sing that song. You know, this is our topic this morning. I want to thank you for your presence this morning. It's certainly a part of that topic to give a lesson and to see everybody in attendance. And of course, we have some that are gone with us due to sickness. Joe and Paulette, and also for Jim Rice and his surgery. Pray that that all went well. So, it's a beautiful Lord's Day. We didn't get meat last Sunday because of the snow. And this Sunday, we're blessed with a beautiful, sunny Lord's Day. And we're all here together. What a blessing that is. It's a rather daunting task to come up with a lesson, a topic, and prepare a lesson. There's so many thoughts and ideas for a lesson. It's really hard to choose a single word. The idea for today's sermon, which I titled The Holy Spirit, came from a recent Wednesday night Zoom Bible study class about the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And from the scripture reading we just had, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we see that the apostles were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit of God came down upon the apostles and the crowd on that day of Pentecost, and the church began with nearly 3,000 souls being baptized and added to the church, as we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 21. Today, as Christians, the Holy Spirit lives within us when we accept Christ and are baptized. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and teaches us and helps us to grow closer to God in our Christian lives. The purpose of my lesson this morning is to look at the attributes and works of the Holy Spirit and how it works through the written word. This lesson is just a basic overview, and I want to stress that, just a basic overview of the Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at a lot of New Testament scriptures during this lesson in order to let the scriptures speak for themselves and teach us about the Holy Spirit. And since I'm not high tech and don't have a projector presentation, it is my hope that the handout will make it easier for you to follow along. Plus, you can take it home and review it later also. A couple of notes before I get started is that, unless otherwise noted, I'll be using the New King James Version, and also I will only be dealing with the New Testament passages during this lesson. I'll be reading all the key scriptures on the handout. Most are only a sentence or two long, and I'll try to read them slowly with emphasis on the key words we're going to understand. Okay, let's get started. Section number one, names of the Holy Spirit. There are many names associated with the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. These various names illustrate God's divine identity, role, and work across both the Old and the New Testaments. Let's first look at a sampling of the various names found in the Bible for the Holy Spirit. These names include Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Holiness, Spirit of Grace, Spirit of glory, the comforter, the helper. Again, this is only 10 examples of the various themes pertaining to the Holy Spirit. These, there are many others, but these, of course, are the most common ones. All of the various names for the Holy Spirit emphasize divinity and its vital role between believers, work in the believers throughout creation. Names for the Holy Spirit vary because of different Bible translations. For example, let's look at John 14:26, and both the King James Version and also the New King James Version translations, which are on your handout. To see several of the different translations names for the Holy Spirit. You're reading the King James Version of John 14:26, which is on your handout. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send to my name, that's being Christ, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now let's look at the New King James first. But the Helper, this Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Did you catch the differences? King James Version, but the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. The New King James Version, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Again, using the various names of the Holy Spirit is very common among the different versions of the Bible. Of the modern-day English translations of the Bible, it's only the King James Version which uses the term Holy Ghost. And I read that the term Holy Ghost, I didn't count it for myself, occurs 90-some times in the King James Version, while the term Holy Spirit occurs only 7 times. That's in the King James Version. There is no clear reason why the King James Version translators use ghost in most places and the Holy Spirit in just a few. In 1611, the King James Version was originally translated the word ghost, primarily referred to as an immaterial part of the person. With recent scripture translations, spirit has replaced ghost in most instances. And that came about because words change meanings over time. In the days of Shakespeare and King James, the word ghost meant the living essence of a person, such as the breath or the soul of a person. And over time, the word spirit at that time normally meant the essence of a departed person. So as language evolved, people started saying ghost when speaking of the vision of a dead person, and the word spirit became the standard term for the essence of a living person. Thus, ghost and spirit changed places over some 300-year time frame. So I hope that helps explain why there are some different words used for the Holy Spirit. Okay, moving on to the second section of your handout, the Godhead and the Holy Spirit. The term Godhead is used by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 and 9, which reads, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This verse highlights that the fullness of the divine nature resides in Jesus Christ, affirming his divinity and integral role in the Godhead. Christ also tells us the Holy Spirit is one of three persons of the Godhead, as we've already seen when we read John 14:26. Again, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The main point of this, in essence or nature, is that the Godhead consists of three distinct beings: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third figure of the Godhead, and it's co-equal, it's equal with God the Father and Christ the Son. Christ gives us the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thus, when one is baptized, the Holy Spirit begins to lead the new Christian in this earthly life. The Holy Spirit instructs us through the Word of God in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful and takes us deeper into God's truth as we go along in our Christian life. Although the Holy Spirit is referred to as a figure or person of the Godhead, it's not flesh and bone. Jesus tells us in Luke 24:30, "Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see I have." The Holy Spirit is of the same nature or essence of God the Father and Christ, and the Holy Spirit cannot be seen by man's eyes, but it can be felt in our hearts. Section number 3. Divine attributes of the Holy Spirit. This section deals with four divine attributes of the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm going to read the scriptures from the New King James Version and let the scriptures speak for themselves. First bullet, the Holy Spirit impacts knowledge, as we see in 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. Which reads, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." God has revealed true wisdom to us by his Spirit. No one can know the things of God but the Holy Spirit, which makes known God's divine knowledge to his church. Second bullet, the Holy Spirit's will shall be done, as seen in 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Our blessings and abilities come to us through the Holy Spirit as God moves. Going back in our scripture reading on the day of Pentecost, God gave the apostles the gift to speak in tongues through the Holy Spirit. Third, the Holy Spirit has a mind. Let's read Romans 8, verse 27. Now He will search the hearts. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit has a mind, and likewise knows the mind of God, which, when He intercedes for us, the saints. Fourth, the Holy Spirit has the power of love. We see in Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God. Amen. In this verse, the Apostle Paul is asking the brother to pray for him. The power of the Holy Spirit's love is strong in kindling love in the hearts of the brethren towards each other. The fourth point, works of the Holy Spirit, is on the back side of your handout. Section number 4, backside memory. And this part of the lesson deals with the works of the Holy Spirit. We'll be covering 8 different ways in which the Holy Spirit works in this section. First, the Holy Spirit guides in all truth, as seen in John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatsoever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit points out the truth to us, which leads us to our Christian lives. At one time, we were all spiritually blind until being led by the truth, by the Spirit. Then, as Christians, the Spirit guides us in all truth throughout our earthly lives. Second, the Holy Spirit guides by the written word. John 20, verse 31 reads, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in His name." The miracles, the facts, the instructions, and conversations of Christ our Lord are all written down, and the Holy Spirit leads us to have faith in the Word and believe that Christ died for our sin so that we can have eternal life beyond this earth. Third bullet there. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ as part of the Godhead, which John tells us in John 17, verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Christ claimed for himself the possession of the divine glory in his pre-existent state before the world was. Christ has a distinct personality, equal with God and the Holy Spirit. The three distinct divine members of the Godhead, God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all glorify one another. Moving on to the fourth bullet of this section, we see that the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God, as is stated in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Here, which reads, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Here is proof of the divine authority of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit observes and knows all things and searches all things, even the deep things of God. No one can know the things of God but the Holy Spirit, who is one with the Father and the Son, and makes known divine wisdom to Christ's church. Fifth point there, the Holy Spirit helps and comforts, as Christ tells us in John 16 and 7. John 16 and 7 reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Remember, we pointed out that one of the various names for the Holy Spirit was the Helper in the King James, New King James Version, Comforter in the King James Version. Christ's departure to physical death on the earth was necessary for the Helper, that being the Holy Spirit, coming. And sending the Spirit was to be the fruit of Christ's death. When on earth, Christ's bodily presence could not be but in one place at a time. But after his departure, the Holy Spirit will be spiritually working everywhere, in all places, at all times, throughout the earth, spreading the good news of Christ and helping and comforting. Six, moving down to the next verse in John chapter 16, verse 8, we see that the Holy Spirit convicts men of sin. Christ, in that verse reads, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Christ continues to speak to the Holy Spirit, and what will happen after his departure from earth, and how the Holy Spirit will convince the world against sin. The fruit of the sin leads to death. The Holy Spirit convinces the world of righteousness and the judgment before God. He opens hearts working through the Word of God. Seventh, the Holy Spirit testifies Christ, as is seen in John chapter 15, verse 26. And note that in this verse, Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify on me. Note that in this verse, Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper and comforter. Here Christ states that both God, the Father, and himself will be sending the Holy Spirit as a helper when Christ is no longer on earth. Then, as now, the Holy Spirit will influence and encourage the hearts of man to testify of Christ and to salvation. Eighth and last point of this section is that God, through the Holy Spirit, convinces man of judgment, as we see in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, which reads, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Verse 31. "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of all this to all by raising him from the dead." Here the Apostle Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, warns that there will be a judgment day for all men by God and his Son. The Holy Spirit leads us to Christ and salvation through repentance, so we will be judged righteous. Through our faith, we know God's word to be true, because he raised Christ from the dead. Time is running out. The last section, number 5. The Holy Spirit and the written word. This final section deals with how the Holy Spirit works through the word of the Bible. And 4 quick points. First, the Holy Spirit works through the word of God. Christ tells us in John 6, verse 63, that it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Second, the word came by the Spirit, as seen in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21. "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Third, the Holy Spirit confirmed the word. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 reads, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Verse 4. "God also, bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to the will, according to his own will." And lastly, last point, the Holy Spirit teaches with the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the whole, but what of which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So in conclusion, I hope this has been interesting and beneficial to you and giving you a better understanding of the Holy Spirit. Of course, there could be many, many sermons on various aspects of the Holy Spirit. This was just a brief overview of the Scriptures pertaining to the Holy Spirit. So in review, we've seen that there are various different names are used for the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, and looked at the divine attributes of the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit works. So in preparing this lesson, I can say I've certainly learned a lot, and I hope you have too. We've covered a lot of scriptures during this lesson, and I hope that I didn't move too fast. So I want to thank you for your kind attention, and again, I encourage you to take this home and maybe look at those verses again and think about the quality of this. Before I close, I want to offer an invitation for you to come forward. If you're not a Christian, and you have learned, you have heard and understand that you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, and we're told in Acts 2 and 38, then now is that time. Or, if you have a public confession you would like to make, come forward now as we stand and sing the invitation.